I want to talk to you about today about this idea of the warfare of thoughts. And we all wrestle with our thoughts. As a matter of fact, we wrestle with politics. And boy, is this that season where we wrestle with politics. And we wrestle with money. Isn't that true? We wrestle with it. We wrestle with our priorities. We wrestle with truth. Especially in today's world, there's such a media bias, isn't there? And you've really got to look at the source of who's saying what and what the motive is behind what they want you to believe. And so we wrestle with relationships. We wrestle with business decisions. We wrestle with health decisions. I spoke to a pastor not that long ago, and he was told that he had cancer because his PSA level was high. And I said, well, buddy, until they do an MRI and a biopsy, I don't know that they can intelligently and accurately diagnose you as having cancer. And he was completely, I'll never forget this pastor, it undid him. He was devastated with this diagnosis. And I kept saying, but you don't know. All you have is a PSA level. That's all you've got. You need to get the MRI. I mean, you're dying before you're dead. You hearing me? And he didn't want to get the MRI. He couldn't get the MRI. He's one of those rare people in the world that an MRI could kill him. So he wasn't able to get the MRI. I said, well, let's get the biopsy then. And he didn't want to get the biopsy. And I said, well, and he's wrestling with it. And I walked with him and talked with him and encouraged him and prayed with him. And finally, he got the biopsy. And guess what came back? There is no cancer. See, he was wrestling. See, we all wrestle with those things. We wrestle with our emotions. We all wrestle. We wrestle trying to figure out what's right from what's wrong. We wrestle with culture. And we wrestle with scripture. Isn't that true? Think about it. Gender identity. I don't wrestle with that. In the beginning, God made man and he made a woman. And we are made in the image and the likeness of God. But we wrestle with things like, you know, trying to understand how do we as Christians respond to the LGBTQ community and how do we show love and yet we don't compromise the word of God. Amen. We wrestle, you know, with raising kids, how to do it. Do we send them to a private school? Do we send them to a public school? And I love what's happening in our own youth ministry here at Wave Church, because as much as we hear all the things that I don't like that's happening in our schools, and there's plenty of things happening in our schools I don't like, amen? But I also think this, we have an army of young people who are going to school, having Bible studies, sharing the gospel, encouraging their friends to come into a faith for Jesus, and I love that we are light in the darkness. We wrestle with abortion. Well, I don't. Some people do. I don't wrestle with abortion. It's very clear. Amen. I believe that abortion is wrong. There are times and circumstances, I understand, rare exceptions where things need to be, decisions need to be made for the health of the mother and the other children are involved. But I'm going to tell you, I don't wrestle with, but we do in culture wrestle with it, don't we? We wrestle with, you know, is college for everyone? Oh, it's very quiet here. Okay. And I'm not talking about the kind of World Wrestling, what's it called, Federation. I'm not talking about the scripted, predetermined outcome wrestling that's for entertainment on television. I'm talking about we all wrestle. Isn't that true? Look at the Bible says in Galatians 5. So this I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary. Everybody say contrary. To the Spirit. And the Spirit, whatever is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict. They wrestle, in other words, with each other. So that you are not to do whatever you want. Can everybody say that? They're wrestling. They're in conflict. The flesh and the Spirit. Au contraire, for those of you who remember that French statement that was made by the great philosopher Bart Simpson? And he said, au contraire, Steve Carell also made that comment. So the flesh, the desires of the flesh are contrary to the desires of the spirit. Isn't that true? The flesh wants what it wants, when it wants it, how it wants it, and where it wants it. They are contrary to each other so that you could not do the things that you would want to do. Does that make sense? So the flesh wants something and the spirit goes, no, don't desire that. And the flesh is trying to get you to do things that the spirit doesn't want you to do. And the spirit is trying to get you to do things that the flesh doesn't want to do. It's a wrestle. Everybody got this? And they are to stop you from doing the thing that you would want to do. My spirit wants. My spirit has desires. Let me tell you what my spirit wants. My spirit has desires. Number one, that I'd love God, that I'd put Him first, that I'd go to church, that I'd serve in His house. And the desires of the spirit are to stop you from having whatever your flesh wants. Can you see that scripture? That's what they're wrestling with each other. The question is, there are forces working within us, amen, that are contrary to one another. So my question is, which one wins? Does your flesh win or does your spirit win? How do you know which is going to win? Because there's a flesh nature inside of every single person. You're wrestling with your flesh. Amen. The best description I can give you, it's like a beach ball. And you put that beach ball in a pool. And imagine that beach ball is your flesh. And what you got to do is you got to get your flesh under control of your spirit. And imagine trying to hold that beach ball under the water. As long as you sit on that thing and hold it down, it's not going to surface and get what it wants. The moment you take your hands off it, it's coming back up again. It is something that we will all wrestle with till the day we die. The desires of the flesh, au contraire, to the desires of the spirit. Which one wins? The simple answer is, you ready for it? Whichever one you feed the most. What's going to win out, the desires of the flesh or the desire of the spirit? And the answer is, whichever one you feed the most. No wonder Jesus teaches, watch this, in Matthew 12, how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? You got to tie up your flesh. You got to feed your spirit man to be stronger than the desires of your flesh. Amen? You can't just take control of your flesh unless you tie that up. Come on, somebody say amen. And so how do we feed our flesh? Well, how do we feed our flesh? It's real simple. This is easy. Just give into it. Just give into those earthly, carnal, natural, ungodly desires. And it's so easy. And I love what it says in Hebrews. Let us set aside the sin that so easily entangles us. It is so easy to give in to desires of the flesh. They are so contrary. There is a warfare going on. Come on, somebody say amen. And so how do we feed our flesh? Neglect your spirit man. That starve your spirit man. Never forget, when I was a youth pastor back in Australia, this young girl walked into my office and she put an apple on my desk in my office. She was probably 16, 17 years of age. And she goes, do you see that apple? And there was the smallest bite taken out of it. She goes, I took that little bite out of that apple and I'm full. She goes, Steve, I'm told by the doctors, and she literally walked out of a hospital still with the IV needle in her arm where she disconnected it, and she goes, I'm told, you remember this girl's handy, I'm told I've got weeks to live because she suffered from anorexia. And she honestly believed that she was obese. This girl was so skinny. She'd have to run around the shower to get wet. She was as skinny as a matchstick with the wood scraped off. And she honestly believed she was morbidly obese. And her stomach had so shrunk to the point where she could only take the smallest bite out of an apple and she felt completely full. And she was convinced that she was overweight. I said, sweetheart, if you're overweight, I'm the Goodyear blimp. You're the furthest thing. And I realized she's wrestling with her thoughts. But I thought about that, and I thought, that's how some Christians are, spiritually anorexic. You got to feed your spirit, man, because your flesh and your spirit are contrary to one another. And this flesh wants what the flesh wants, and it's completely in direct opposition to what the spirit wants. Isn't that true? And when you keep starving your spirit, man, your stomach, your spirit shrinks and shrivels. How do we feed our flesh? Neglect the spirit, man. How do we feed our flesh? By being influenced by culture and media. Amen. How do we feed our flesh? Well, the Bible says bad company corrupts good manners. Get around the wrong people. How do we feed our flesh? Do what seems right and feels right to you without any regard to God's word and God's wisdom. Just do what seems right and feels like to you. Give no regard to God's word and God's wisdom. How do we feed our flesh? Live a life of instant gratification. Give no thought to the outcome of the consequences of our decisions. How do we feed our flesh? Ignore your conscience. Amen. The Bible says when Adam and Eve saw that the fruit was good and it was pleasing to the eye, they gave in to the desires of their flesh. Amen. I have people say, man, when I get to heaven, I want to speak to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve is in all of us. We're all born in sin, the Bible says, and shaven in iniquity. Everybody has the freedom of choice, but nobody has the freedom of consequences. Amen? How do we feed our spirit, man? Make your desires God's desires. Amen? Make God's plans your plan for your life. Make every decision with eternity in mind. Feed your spirit, man, by being in the Word, in prayer, and listen to me, a regular worshiper in God's house. How do we feed our spirit, man? Fasting. How do we do it? Fasting. Because it denies your flesh. Amen? It's teaching your flesh you're not getting whatever you want when you want it. And I mean fasting. I don't mean just like, okay, when we call for a fast, like, okay, I'll stop eating chocolate. I'm talking about a Bible fast. I'm talking about denying your flesh. And that flesh, you don't feed it for a day, and you'll find out just how much we are led and motivated and driven by our flesh. You try fasting for 3 days, and you'll soon discover how strong your flesh is. Sometimes it has taken me 10 days to do a 3-day fast. Because I wake up in the morning and forget I was fasting on day 2. And then I eat. Then I got to start the whole fast all over again. Our flesh comes so easy, doesn't it? How do we feed a spirit, man? By telling others about Jesus, by talking about our faith, by praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in your heavenly prayer language. Look at this. You got this? So let's get ready to rumble. We're going to wrestle with our thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we live in the world, and we ought to live in the world. Amen? Though we live in the world, we ought to live in the world. We are called to be salt and light. Amen? We are not called to live in a Christian cocoon. We are called to live in the world. Though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. au contraire, there it is again, they have divine power to demolish strongholds, and we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ, and we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. Our weapons are not weapons of this world. And I do thank God for military might. I do thank God for the United States military and the might that it is. Can anybody say amen to that? And our weapons are not the weapons of this world, because let me tell you, politics is a weapon. Amen? Media is a weapon. Big tech is a weapon. Culture wars are weapons. But we don't wage war as the world does. Au contraire. No, no, no. And I want to tell you, Proverbs 14, verse 34, it says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I know Josh preached last Sunday about politics. Well, let me tell you who I'm voting for, just in case you're wondering. You ready for this? I'm voting not for a person, but for a party who reflects best and represents, I believe, what promotes righteousness. Because the Bible says righteousness exalts a nation, and sin is its reproach. I want to see people leading our nation that are reflecting God's idea of promoting righteousness. Can you say amen? Now, you figure that out for you, because I will never tell you who to vote for. Never have, never will. I've had people try to bully me. I've had people try to manipulate me. I've had people even leave Wave Church because I didn't tell you who to vote for. I never have told you who to vote for. I never will tell you who to vote for. I will tell you to pray. I will tell you to seek God's word. I will pray you to promote those who I believe are representing what will be a blessing to this nation, and what will be a blessing to the nation of the United States is righteousness exalts a nation. Come on, somebody, say amen. Do I think one party is more holy than another party? No, I don't. But I do think there are some times when you look at the values and the policies and the principles that they hold, there are some parties that stand out to me. Very obviously, they're more promoting what will lead us toward righteousness. But I also happen to think that politicians are often the corrupt calling the corrupt corrupt. No, I didn't get a clap for that. So the Bible says that the world uses these things. It uses and it fights with its weapons. But the Bible says our weapons are not like that. They have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Amen? So when God said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one, God instituted the idea of marriage between a man and a woman. Amen. We live in a fallen world, and the world does not live to that principle, but we do. Come on, somebody say amen. And the Bible says we are to demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Let me tell you, anything that is anti-family is against the knowledge of God. And family is between a father and a mother in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody say amen. Listen to this. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to God's word, or make it obedient to Christ. And we are ready to punish every act of disobedience once our obedience is complete. The only problem is I see some people ready to punish other people's acts of disobedience, but your obedience isn't yet complete. Do you see the sequencing of that verse? Before you go around judging others, take a good look in the mirror. Come on. Amen. And so we demolish arguments. Let me ask you a question. Do we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God? Do we take every thought captive and make it obedient to God's word? Do we? I'm asking myself that right now. Do I take every thought captive? Any thought, and I got to make it obedient to the knowledge of God's word. People say to me, Steve, what do you think about this? Do you know what? I see my response. Who cares what I think? And people say, let me tell you what I think. And honestly, I don't care what you think. What I care is, what does God's word say? And I got to be willing to make every thought captive and make that thought obedient to the knowledge of Christ. Come on, this is a good filter for us because we're wrestling. Amen. Are we ready to punish every act of disobedience? Oh, we are. That's why we're no in you. And once your obedience, you might want to then take a look at, but you got to make sure you're looking at yourself first. Can you say amen? And so look at Isaiah 55. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. It's not that we can't know the thoughts of God, and it's not that we can't know the ways of God, but if we're going to know His thoughts and know His ways, they're higher. Amen? But we elevate other people's thoughts. We elevate the wrong thoughts. We elevate our own thoughts. But the Bible says God's ways are higher than our ways. God's thoughts are higher. So if we're going to know the ways of God, the thoughts of God, we've got to be willing to elevate our thinking. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Do you know the Bible says this? It says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus in Philippians. So it's possible to have the mind of God. It's possible to think the thoughts of God. But you won't know His mind and you won't know His ways by not elevate unless you're willing to elevate your thinking. Come on, somebody. Amen? Are you catching this? But we're wrestling with our thoughts. I love that. The Bible says that we are to renew our minds. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You are not a victim of your thoughts. You can change your thoughts. You can know the thoughts of God, the ways of God, the will of God, and you can know what God's called you to do if you're willing. The best example I've ever heard of carnal thinking, thoughts, carnal thoughts. It's not just thoughts about lustful thoughts, about sin, sex, and drugs. Do you know what a carnal thought is? I heard the best description I've ever heard. To bring your thinking down to the level of your humanity. The best example I've ever heard. Carnal thinking, the Bible says to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life. Carnal thinking is to bring your thinking down to the level of your humanity. I'll never buy a house. I'll never get out of debt. I'll never get married. That'll never happen. They'll never get healed. To bring your thinking down to the level of your humanity. What does God's word say? My thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are what? Higher. The Bible says we can renew our minds. It says we can have the mind of Christ. I'm preaching better than you're listening. Proverbs 14 verse 12. There is a way that appears to be right, but the end thereof is death. This is our warfare, our own thoughts that seem right. And I want to tell you, there is a war going on today that is stronger than even the war that's going on in the Middle East. The war in the Middle East is serious. Somebody say amen. It is life and death over there right now. Hezbollah right now is attacking Israel. Hamas is right now attacking Israel. Come on, somebody. And somehow culture has flipped the script, that somehow has made Israel look like they're the oppressor. And yet they're the ones that were attacked and have been attacked since the very beginning. Amen? So I'm just saying, it's like there's all sorts of warfare, and that's a serious war. There's a war right now going on in Russia and the Ukraine. There's a war going on right now with China wanting Taiwan. There's a war right now going on in Iran, and even an attempt to assassinate a few potential president of the United States. There's wars going on all over. And the Bible says in the last days there'll be wars and there'll be rumors of wars. And we're all ever conscious. Turn on the TV. You hear about all these wars all day. You hearing me? China and what it wants, and Russia and Iran and all the Middle East. But let me tell you, there is a war even more serious. Because at the end of the day, those wars are earth life. But there is a war that's eternal. And it's the war of our thoughts to get Christians to be apathetic, to fail to realize that how God plans for the earth to be one is through the church. And if we just give into our flesh, we're going to say to the world, you can go to hell. I'm just trying to live a blessed life. Come on, somebody. Look what the Bible says. Genesis 6. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, that every inclination of the thoughts of a human heart was only evil all the time. Every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. Do you know what that triggered? The great flood. That's when God destroyed the earth and wiped out the entire world and pressed reset. Now, God promised he'd never do that again. And he sealed that promise with a rainbow, which now the LGBTQ has hijacked the rainbow. And let me tell you something, when I see the rainbow, I don't see LGBTQ. I see the promise of God. He'll never do that again. So what is the solution? Look at the Bible says in Isaiah 55 verse 7. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their what? Come on. The unrighteous their what? Okay, you're being very quiet. The unrighteous forsake their? Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them, to our God, for he will freely pardon. So the Bible says we're to forsake our thoughts. Oh, I meet some people who are so hell-bent that they are right. And the Bible says you got to forsake your thoughts. You got to know that our thoughts, I love what it says here in Matthew 15. Listen to what Jesus said. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. Out of the heart come evil thoughts. For Mark 7, verse 21, for it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come, sexual immorality, theft, and murder. So what is the solution? How do we do this? God's word has an answer. And look what it says in Hebrews 3. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in this heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom as we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Amen. The Bible says, as we behold him, we shall become like him. The more you behold him, the more you will be like him. Sometimes I'm thinking, who are you beholding? Sometimes I'm thinking, who am I beholding? Hebrews 4, watch this. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates, look at this, even. Everybody say even. So there's a distinction here, that this word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of the soul. What's your soul? It's your mind, it's your will, and it's your emotions. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of your soul and your spirit. So the Bible is making it very clear here that your soul and your soul and your spirit are so closely intertwined that the only way you'll know the difference between what is your spirit man and what is your soul is the Word of God. Nothing else can separate them, but the Word of God can. So now, I'm not all that interested in my thoughts anymore. I'm not all that interested in my mind, will, and emotions. I'm far more interested in what does God's Word say. For the Word of God is the only thing that's able to separate between my flesh and my spirit. Come on, somebody say amen. Proverbs 23:7. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Do you receive the Word? Do you receive the Word?